Isaiah 54. Cliff, if you would be as kind to shut the lights off back here, and I think we can turn the lights off in the center. Let's look what it looks like. You think that'll be good enough? Can everybody still see? For you that are going to go to sleep, they're going to go to sleep anyhow, so that won't change anything. Thank you. I think that'll work. Isaiah 54, please. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. I'm going to speak on Mother's Day this morning. It will be somewhat different than my normal address. I'm going to address maybe something that took me a couple years to figure out was even a problem. So, you know, sometimes we're slow, and men are very slow. Men can be oblivious, and this is one of my obliviousnesses. All right, Isaiah 54, let's stand, please. Begin reading in verse 1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, meaning bear children, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Obviously, using an analogy that we probably wouldn't use in America, people lived in tents. And the idea being is, you need a bigger tent. We would use a different analogy. Build on some rooms to your house, or buy a bigger house. Verse 3. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. He's talking to the woman that didn't have children. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, the nations, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. I shared this with Emily last year. That verse contains 5 Hebrew words for shame. If you're an American, we suffer from shame, but we don't know have words to describe it. We don't have language because Americans don't tend to be a shame-based culture, even though we suffer from it. Hebrew has 5 different words for shame found in that verse. Verse 5. For thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. The God of all the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith the Lord. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee, for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. We're going to look at this text this morning. Before we do that, we're going to look behind me. This text, and I am beyond your wildest imaginations to always be accurate with the Word of God. Whether anybody else is interested, I'm interested. So we're going to look at a principle this morning. Christy, I think you're there. At the top of this is really an universal idea or image. And the idea or image is this. A woman that doesn't have children, which is a great cause of shame, disappointment, and many emotions in most places in the world. Not in exactly the same way in America, but there are elements of truth. Now, on the left side is the specific application, the historical referent, which is the nation of Israel. The picture here is Israel is not going to come to much, but God makes a promise to his people, the Jewish nation, that in the future, they're going to inherit the Gentiles. Isaiah chapter 2, when all the nations come to Jerusalem to worship God in the millennium. So that's the historic referent. I'm not going to preach on that this morning. I'm going to preach on a practical application to the idea of just motherhood. So I'm going to talk about motherhood this morning. And I'm going to try to get to a core. And if you're a man here, excuse me, if you're a Christian man here, this will be very specific for you. Because there are women, maybe your wife, that suffers from things that you are 100% clueless about. I want to make you not clueless this morning. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the privilege of being able to preach the Word of God and share these ideas. May this be a helpful morning. May this be something that I would hope that would be life-changing. I think about the ladies in our church, and there are many that have struggled with, how about this, having children, losing children, losing babies. How about this, never marrying? And yet we go about our little way, humming our little tune, having our nose, Lord only knows where. May all of us be a little more aware this morning, and may those mothers and not mothers yet recognize there's more to this story than what they've been thinking about. Use me, I ask, to be an encouragement today in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. It would have been 1988, 1989, and 1990. The first 3 years I was a pastor, a senior pastor in a church. There are many things I remember from those days. The first thing I remember, for all of you that are here this morning, it was the first time I ever became emotional. It took me 6 months to get over that. I'd wake up in the middle of the night thinking I cried in public. Men where I'm from don't get emotional. We don't have emotions. Well, I found out that's a lie, but the thing that hurt me, or I grasped a little bit at the time, was this. Mother's Day, my first few years of being a senior pastor, was different than it should have been. My experiences, you got to hear this, my experiences of Mother's Day was uniformly good. Some of that came from my own family. I came from a family where mothers were respected. Mothers were treated very, very well, pretty much universally. I only know one or two exceptions to that. We celebrated mothers and motherhood and grandmothers and great-grandmothers. In fact, I think I have a picture. I'll bring this picture back up later of my... That is a picture of my, not my mother's family, but my grandmother's family. This was taken, I think, in 58, Christy, is that right? 1958. My great-grandmother is on the far right, and then my great-aunt Ivy, great-aunt Alma, great-aunt Opal, great-aunt Mary, great-aunt, which one is that? No, that wasn't Mary. It was Lorraine, then Mary, and then my grandmother, and the women are in birth order. And then there's three boys. I'll talk about this picture more later. There is my Uncle Don, my Uncle Frank, and my Uncle Lawrence. So in Mother's Day, this is what we did for Mother's Day. This family and all of their descendants would get together and honor my grandmother's, great-grandmother's birthday. And we would have what we call the Adcock Custer reunion. Now, my grandmother is the last woman there. And this is her family, Christy. That's part of the family. You'll see the rest in a moment. So that's my mother, dead center, grandpa and grandma on the side. This was taken in 1966, 67, 65, somewhere in there. And then that's my Aunt Dot, that's my Uncle Kenny, Uncle Dave, Uncle Florin, Uncle Cook, Uncle Roland, Uncle Bug, the other side. And then you have Uncle Gail, you have Uncle Jim, Roland, I missed him, and Aunt Mary. Do you get the impression there was a lot of people in this family? By the way, when we had this party for my great-grandmother, there'd be 200 to 300 people there. Because there's a lot of people in this family. So I grew up with Mother's Day and things about mothers being very important in my life. And to honor your mother was as common to me as drinking water. It's just what you did. We even did it in our little country church that I went to, a little country church. My mother was always a special day at church. They would honor the mothers. They would always ask who the oldest mother here is. And by the way, ladies, I'm not going to ask who the oldest mother is. I don't want to know. Somebody might get offended. We would ask who had the most children. And my mother had only four. It was only four of us. And Mom never had the most children in a little church. Most people had 4 to 6 kids in those days, in my generation. We would also ask who was the newest mom. And then who had the most descendants. It was a great day. So I tell you all of that, and I'm going to go back to these pictures later, but here's what happened to me. I become a pastor, and I think the greatest day in the church is Mother's Day. Until my first year, I looked out at the congregation, and there was a lady missing. That's weird. It doesn't bother me anymore, but I thought in this case, I knew the people, and everybody was from that area just about, and I looked and I said, she's not there. Nick's Mother's Day rolled around. You know who I'm talking about. She wasn't there the next Mother's Day. Third year. She wasn't there the third year of Mother's Day. Every year I was a pastor in that church, she missed every single Mother's Day. It was both noticeable and obvious. It took me a while to catch on. She didn't come to church on Mother's Day because Mother's Day caused her too much pain. She had 4 children of her own. Someone in her family had died, and her and her husband had adopted 2 children from them. So she really had 6 kids. But the 6 kids, and by the way, if you get mad at me, get mad at me, because I'm going to speak it exactly as it is, because I'm not trying to coddle anybody in this room this morning. She had 6 children total. They were reared in church. But now comes the pain. None of her children were part of a church when I was there. They had all followed the father in his drinking, smoking, and his low-class lifestyle. And if you want to know what a low-class lifestyle it is, it's drinking, smoking, living for the weekend, and everything is about me. That's a low-class lifestyle. And every child followed the dad. To this point, 2 of her children, 1 adopted, 1 hers. The reason she couldn't come to church is, number one, she had 4 children unsaved. Number two, she had 2 children in the grave. One of her adopted children in drunk driving was killed, and one of her children in a separate one, drunk driving, was killed. She lost 2 children to her husband's behavior. So every Mother's Day when I'm rejoicing, she couldn't come to church. She was weeping. Now in this room, in case some of you don't know, there are ladies that would like to be married and some would like to have children. Some will never have children. Some probably won't marry. So when this morning we're rejoicing, and I want to rejoice. I like Mother's Day. But there's another side, and I want to come to this text and find out what God has to say to mothers that have had. Now, I don't get it. I don't get why anybody would follow the dad when he's a worthless, drunk individual. Look at me. There's 4 kids in my family. I've said it publicly with my mother here. Hey, my dad was unsaved. My mom was saved. All 4 kids, we chose mom. Did you hear me? We chose mom. We didn't choose the pagan life. And I gladly say that to my own dad if he was still alive. They chose the drunken life. And 2 of them died in separate accidents. Well, I'm going to say some things about this text this morning. And I'm not going to read verses until we get to the third point. Motherhood is not always created equal. I grew up with a family where mothers were honored, respected, if you wanted to live, you don't backtalk mom. You can be tough, you can be rough, but if you say one thing to your mother, you are dead meat. See this guy over here? He grew up the same way. He likes his mom more than me, I know. Go ahead, John, say amen. See, that's the reason he likes him more. But may I say this? My children grew up in a family where you didn't mess with mom. Moms were respected, not just dads. But motherhood is not all created equal. We have families in here that struggle with being mothers. We have lots of good families, people that I appreciate, people that I like to see. I mean, I love it when the kids come in here. Army, I love to watch your children. I love to watch your, you have three perfect daughters, is that correct? One of them was a princess in the play, so I know she's perfect. You have two sons, one old and really bad and one young and bad. They're very similar. All your tears are going to be rooted in that old man and your son. But it's beautiful to watch. I like it. I like to watch Christy, and I like to watch her because I remember when Brenna, is Brenna in here or is she some other place? I mean, come on, Tom and Christy. You know, Brenna, where did she come from? I remember when we used to try to get her up on the stage to sing in a group, and when she threw a fit, it was a fit that would stop the universe. I mean, it was clouding up and raining, and it was like, and now where did she come from? She's a leader. She does things. She takes charge of stuff. It's like, wow. Then there's Superman, he's over there. I'm waiting, buddy. I'm going to pay you money the day you outgrow your dad. 6 months. I'm looking forward to it. Brennan, where's Brennan at? Is he in here? You're already taller than your dad, aren't you? Go ahead and say it. I love it. I love to look around at the kids. I love to see the mothers interact. And we have a lot of good families. I saw Brennan in the play. What were you playing? You were really a bad guy. And the worst thing was, when you were really a bad guy, Kayla here was petting your head. It was like, ooh, I wanted to wipe my hand. It was, ugh. And of course, you know, Brennan, he's grown up. I don't know what happened to him. Last year he was this, and now he's this. How tall are you? Are you as tall as me? You look as tall as me. I like it. And then I hear Josh Mogill. Josh, were you Santa Claus? I think you got that down a little too well. I'm mad. I came on Thursday because my wife bought tickets on Thursday, and on Friday, Josh gave out candy. It's amazing to see kids grow up, and I know mothers are proud of their children, and it's a beautiful thing. I watch Emily with the little grumpy cat, and and that girl is grumpy and bossy. I watch her with Anderson. And Anderson, he did a good job in the play, too. I like that. And then Preston, he was the hired help. Good job, Preston. I like that. Oh, my goodness. And then I'm just, by the way, what are you talking about, Pastor Warren? Motherhood's not all created equal. Not everybody's happy with their children. Not every mother in here can look in the mirror and say, I'm real happy where my child is. But let me say this. I'm happy with a whole bunch of the kids. I'm happy where they're going. I only had one problem in the play Thursday night. There were two girls that were evil. And they were two sisters. Kayla and Amber. Now, Kayla, I knew you had evil in you. But Amber, I thought you were always sweet. Ooh. And now I know where they get it from. Jennifer. I'll just say this again. Motherhood is not always created equal. Number two, motherhood might not get to motherhood. You know, there's a lot of ladies that would like to have children that never get there, never have children, never have that opportunity. And I want every father and man in this room to get that. There are ladies right here this morning that would like to have children that never will. Don't think that's not a burden. Guys, most of us, the only thing we want to do with children is get rid of them. Give them to your mother. Isn't that what you say? Take them to their mother. Motherhood might not get to motherhood. And number three, motherhood can become a source of disappointment, pain, and even shame. Motherhood can become a source of disappointment, pain, and even shame. Look with me in your Bibles to verse 1. Notice what it says. Sing, who does it address? O barren, thou that didst not bear. A little later it says, cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. My friend, when you hear language like this, this is the language of a mother. You know, this is the language spoken to a mother. Now, it's obviously Israel ultimately, but a mother that wanted children and hasn't had them. And there's pain associated with that. There's loss associated with that. And we're going to read verse 4. Verse 4 is brutal. Now, the good part of verse 4 is God is going to, and we'll get to this, God is moving us beyond this. But the bad part is the shame. Look what it says in verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, meaning in the future. But right now, as a woman, some women feel tremendous shame. Neither be thou confounded, another word for shame. For thou shalt not be put to shame, another word for shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach, another word for shame, of thy widowhood anymore. Verse 7 and 8 are wonderful verses, but I think, men, ladies, if we're going to hear them, we have to hear the first part before we hear the second part. God says, for a small moment have I what? Look me in the eyes. I know for sure there are women in this room that feel God has forsaken them. My mother never had this problem. My mother only had one dream as she grew up. She's a simple country girl. She didn't want 12 children like her mother. She wanted 4. She wanted 2 boys and 2 girls. She thought that was the perfect family. She had my older sister in 1950, my brother in 53, and then there was a 4-year gap. I'm the only one in my family not born in Southern Illinois because the doctor said you can't have any more children. My mom wanted 2 more. She wanted another boy and another girl. I was born in St. Louis because they went over to a specialist, St. Louis Maternity Hospital, and the doctor there said mom wouldn't get pregnant. Well, she did. I was born in St. Louis. Then my little sister was born back in Alton. But the point being is, this is part of it. It's like God's forsaken me. Why can't I have children? Look at all these people that have children. I don't even want their children. I can't have children. Motherhood is not always equal. No, it's not. And you might not even get to motherhood, and if you do, it might be a source of disappointment, pain, and shame. Verse 8, God says, in a little wrath, I hid my face from thee. Amy sang the song this morning about never alone, but experientially, in our experience, sometimes we can feel as if God has forsaken us. The lack of marriage, the lack of children, the lack of children who are successful. Ladies, I want to say this to you, and I won't look or mention any names. No woman will ever look me in the eye and say, it doesn't bother me that my kids are worthless. There are males that can do that. There are males who just don't care about their children. But there's something that God put in women. The vast majority, the most important thing are their children. And here's in the picture is a woman that didn't have children. And the idea of not being married, not having children, are those children failing? It's painful. It's very painful. There's nothing worse. In the ancient Near East, the land of the Bible, and frankly, any traditional culture, America is not a traditional culture, but in any traditional culture, and America kind of secondarily, if you are not married, that's not usually good for a woman. If you are married and have no children, that is horrific. Why? Because in most traditional cultures, whose fault is it if a woman doesn't have children? Folks, it wasn't that long ago in our culture. Henry VIII basically had Anne Boleyn beheaded primarily because she couldn't have a boy child. Now, we know now, guess who makes the decision whether you have a boy child or not? The woman or the man? I mean, folks, this runs in certain cultures, and there's a lot of shame because I'm either not married or I don't have children. Or how about this? What happens if you have a child and the child dies? You know, in many cultures, that's the fault of the mother. And ladies, though I don't want to be, I'm not trying to be mean, most Christian women, if the child grows up and does not succeed, that is the most painful thing a mother can ever suffer, to see a child be a failure. No, we're not in a traditional culture, but we can internalize the pain in similar ways. I don't know. Let me go back. Christy, can we go back to my great-grandmother's photo? This picture was taken, was it 1950 what? 58. I think that's what it was. When you see this photo, my grandmother's happy. She has her children lined up. But my friend, here's the problem with that photo. That photo's not complete. The photo's missing some things. See, great-grandma had 11 children. When I knew her, now I was born in 1950. I was born in 57, but I didn't know. When I knew her, there was great-grandma, great-aunt Ivy. They always lived together. I thought they were sisters. They were only 15 years apart. The next woman is great-aunt Almy. She died of cancer when I was an infant in the 50s. Great-aunt Opal lived to be 99. The other ladies lived. But you see the men down here. There were four men in the family. If you look at the guy that's the last guy, that's Uncle Lawrence. He was in the Army in World War II. The other two guys, Uncle Frank and Uncle Don, they were in the Army in a little thing called the Battle of the Bulge at the same time. The older brother, not in the picture, is dead. He died near Ormoc City in Leyte, December 10th, 1944. She had already lost. I forgot. There was the youngest daughter. The youngest daughter died at about 2 years old. She lost Aunt Almy. She had lost her husband. She had lost Uncle Henry. And the two men on the right, not Uncle Lawrence, the next two guys, both died of cancer before great-grandma died. She had lost a baby, a husband, a daughter, and three of her sons before she died. Don't tell me you go to church on Mother's Day and you're just so happy. Woo! There's another side of life, friend. There's another big side of life. That's great-grandma. She never talked about that. I will confess to you, she died in 1974. I was 17. I was far too immature to ever think about asking great-grandma anything. I was too much into what? Self. Why would I talk to her? I knew everything at 17. The next picture. The next picture is of my grandmother. My mother is right in the middle. I look at this picture. Mom was in her 30s. Unbelievable. When you see this picture, the nice thing about this picture, she had 11 children here, but grandma had another one too. Grandma did well when it came to children. My grandpa died. John was a year. Is that right, Jenny? So 1985? My grandmother died in 2002. When she died, she still had 11 children alive. I did part of the big part of the funeral. 11 children and their spouses, 38 of us grandchildren and their spouses, 60 great the next generation, and there were 20 of the fifth generation. There was no visitors. It was just family at the funeral. But when my grandma died, I wasn't there. I was here. My Uncle Cook was there with her. And my grandmother, just about 90, she kept asking, for 2 or 3 days, she kept asking for the baby. Well, there's a lot of people in the family. So Uncle Cook said, I kept asking her, what baby are you talking about? Mom, who do you want? Go ahead and show the other picture. This is the whole family that I grew up with. 11 of them. But Grandma had lost a son, that's in between some of these guys over here on the right that lived to be about 2 years old. 60 years later, number one thing in her mind was that baby. I'm going to say something to some of you rebels in this room. You play your little game. You're not worth, as my father would say, the salt. You're not worth your salt. There comes a time when a lot of mothers have gone through a whole bunch. I like Mother's Day because it's a time to honor mothers as opposed to honoring yourself. Yes, I know, and I won't mention names, but I look around this room, there's two or three ladies here right now that have pain. Either they haven't had children or they have lost children. There's nothing greater pain. So motherhood is not all created equal. Some mothers never get to motherhood, and motherhood can be a source of disappointment, pain, and even shame. I would like you to turn, this is for the mothers. There's a verse in Proverbs that I'd like you to look at, Proverbs 14. We're going to come right back to Isaiah 54. And then I'm going to conclude my sermon. Just about, anyhow. Proverbs 14:10. Mothers, this is for you out there that you have a husband that has the empathy of a cockroach. And there are plenty of males like that. Proverbs 14:10 is a verse that you need to meditate and memorize for yourself. The heart knoweth his or her own bitterness. There is a truth, friend, that the only person that can carry your burden is you and the Lord. I wish we had more people more sensitive to the needs and the pains that people have. I know people in this room. I know for sure that Pam and Mike wanted to have more children, and I'm pretty sure that Pam lost babies along the way. Many other women have too. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. And I think you have to come, and the next one is just as true. And a stranger or an outsider does not intermeddle or interact with his joy. The deepest emotional expressions that we have are almost impossible for anyone else to understand. And you just have to just accept that. People just don't get it. Well, we look back, if you would. Look back at Isaiah 54. I'm going to bring this message full circle. I have said motherhood is not created equal. Motherhood might not even get to motherhood. Motherhood might be a source of disappointment, loss, and shame. But I want to get to these two, I'm going to say two statements, and we're going to read this whole text because this is what the whole text is about. God, number four, can completely transform motherhood if you're interested. And number five, God transforms motherhood by expanding motherhood or by redefining motherhood. So he takes the nation of Israel and he says some positive things to them so they get out of this place they're at. I mean, Israel, if you look through the centuries, 586 BC, the nation was totally destroyed. 70 or so years later, they came back and they rebuilt a small temple. And that temple lasted until Herod the Great made a huge massive temple and almost like a city. In AD 70, that was destroyed. It's still not built again. Israel has 6 million people died in the Holocaust. God's chosen people have been left out. But God is going to say some things to his chosen people, his bride, so to speak. And he's going to say some things to mothers that he can transform this thing called motherhood. And he does so by expanding it and redefining it. Verse 1, sing, O barren, thou that dost bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that dost travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. So in some way, God is saying, I'm going to do more for you than you can possibly imagine. Then verse 2, he says, you need to do something about this. And here comes the expanding and the redefining. He says, enlarge the place of your tent. You're living in a too small of a place. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not. Lengthen the cords. Make the stakes that are in the ground even stronger. Why? Verse 3. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit. The King James says the Gentiles. That's fine. Gentiles is that any ethnic group not Jewish. So you think I was just going to create this small little nation. I'm going to have you inherit all the nations. In Isaiah 2 and in Micah 4, it talks about all the nations of the world during the millennium coming to Jerusalem to worship the Lord because Jesus will rule and reign from there. This small little nation that's not very big and not very significant, God says, I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest imaginations. And friend, if you allow God to transform your idea of motherhood by expanding it, redefining it, I think you'll come to a better place. Look at verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, which probably indicates that we're all going to experience mothers, elements of feeling God has forsaken us. But God says, but with great mercies will I gather thee. He says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. So God tells us mothers to sing, to enlarge your place. Why? Because God is trying to get you to look in different places and in a different way at what he's going to do. There will be no more shame. God is going to let you have a bigger family. Why? In verse 5, I love verse 5 because it says, for thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The Lord of the whole earth shall he be called. Verse 6 says, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken. God knows exactly who you are. He knows your problems, your difficulties, your losses. But God, with great mercy and everlasting kindness, is trying to do something special. I'm going to say something about two people in our church and one not. Christy, if you'll show the picture of the grade school. This is called Kellison Elementary Grade School. This is in West St. Louis County where I pastored. When I became a pastor in that area, on Sunday night, a woman started coming. She was early 80s, very immaculately, perfectly dressed. Her name was Miss Kellison, Miss, M-I-S-S, and you better say it right, Miss Kellison. Miss Kellison would come on Sunday night. Then she started bringing other people. Then she started coming on Wednesday night. She never attended our church, I don't think, on Sunday. You say, why? Miss Kellison was a member of an extremely liberal church. But the pastor, and she said flat out, she says, the pastor is not a believer. But the pastor allows me to teach the adult Sunday school class. And she says, I just preach the gospel every week. She had a whole group of people saved out of this church. By the way, when she died, one of her converts became the Sunday school teacher of the same thing. So this liberal church, the God-hating church, had a witness. Well, Miss Kellison was an interesting person. Everybody that she got around, she wanted to give her testimony. You know what her testimony was? Now, this is a different age. Back in the 1930s, she had an opportunity to get married. The guy had money, a lot of money, in the Depression. Big job. And she was a good-looking woman. She, in 80, was still perfect. This is what she said. The guy dated, courted me. We dated, courted. And this is what happened. Came down to the guy, said this, if we get married, you have to quit teaching. She said, I either had to choose from my calling or marriage. I chose calling. She never married. She never had children. Well, she had lots of spiritual children. And this woman was special. When she was 80, she was still the president of the school board. She was active in everything. She had not long ago retired. Now, you understand, hear me. When she retired, this is all she did. She was principal of two different elementary schools at the same time. And she taught in the high school in West St. Louis County. She taught AP English. Was that all? Two schools and AP English. Everybody from that area had her for a teacher. So I will just tell you this. When she died, there wasn't two people at her funeral. There was a day and a half or 2 days, and I remember going to her funeral and looking at the names of the people that paid their respects by the pages. You look at me. But she expanded her view. And let me say this to all of you. You lost children. Your children going to hell, living for the devil. Let me say something. God wants to expand your vision to something bigger. He has other things in mind. Now, I'm not going to try to be personal here. We have a lady not in here this morning. She's one of my favorite people in this church. Everybody already knows that. On a scale of 1 to 10, her dad's a 1 and her mom's a 10 and she's an 11. You say, who is she? Well, that's Rhonda. I'm thinking Rhonda's never going to have children. Oh, well, yeah, she does have lots of children, doesn't she? Here, down on the base. By the way, folks, expand your view of what God is doing here. He's telling the Israel, you think, you know, you've been through all these things, but down the road, you're going to inherit all the nations. You better get a bigger tent. Now I'm going to address somebody in here. There's somebody in here I like. Her name is Sparky, right here. She's good looking. She's smart. She's sweet. Little snotty sometimes. I don't know why she isn't married. I have no idea. Maybe guys are intimidated by her. It's either that or they can never catch up with her. Now, that might be too. Let me ask you a question. How many kids does she influence in this school? Do you understand, folks, you can play a game. You can take yourself, ladies, I'll speak to you. You can bury yourself in your woes. Or you can, hey, enlarge the place. Strengthen the stakes. Build a bigger place. Because God can use you to do any number of things. And I think, Sparky, I hope you find some perfect guy someday. Well, good luck on that one. That'll be heaven. I think about weird things. It bothers me that you don't have a husband. It would bother me more if you had a dumb husband. But can I tell you something? It doesn't bother me when I see the kids that you're teaching history. She teaches history so well, the kids that come into my Bible class actually know history. I go back to verse 2. Would you read with me? God says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit all the nations and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Friend, God can totally and completely transform motherhood. He does it by expanding it, redefining it. And today, mothers, we've all lost. If you've lost, I sympathize and I feel. But you've got to get your eyes off of that and say, what else has God got for me? Dads, if you're a husband, get your nose out of your navel and think there's someone else on earth. And all of us, let's honor mothers. Listen, let's honor our mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers. But let's honor those women who are mothers that have never had children. But they've been investing in children for long years. Father, thank you for your word. It's a beautiful passage.